ever the cost.
A number of states have already reached settlements with drug makers who are accused of aggressively marketing the highly addictive painkillers and downplaying the risks to doctors and patients. James Holzhauer's Jeopardy! Winning streak is still going, and he's on track to surpass Ken Jennings' record earnings sometime in the month of June. Holzhauer on Monday won his 28th straight game and has career earnings on Jeopardy! Of just over $2.1 million. Now, there's been a lot of talk of getting a rematch between Jennings and Holzhauer. As far as that rematch goes, Jennings tells ABC's Good Morning America,
"The thing is, it's been 15 years for me. We'll never know how Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron would have played at the same time because they were decades apart, you know, like, can I have my 2004 brain back if I play this guy? I think I could hold my own against him even today, but I would need some breaks. It would be all about who found the Daily Doubles, and usually on Jeopardy!, I don't need a lot of breaks."
Please remember, you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. We're here on Tuesdays from 3 to 4 o'clock almost every week. And although I sometimes do a monologue, I much rather interview people, especially considering who I have here today for you to meet. And his name is Carl Taylor. He's an attorney here in Flemington. So welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. And Carl and I have a mutual interest, and that's in marketing. All business owners, if they don't, they have to market. If they don't market, they're not going to sell. And so he, I guess you figured that out a while ago.
So, too late.
So I'm glad that you're here, Carl. And we're going to we'll have some words from some of our sponsors. But I'm not going to do a weather report. However, I was just telling Carl that I just got a notice from Tewksbury Township Police Department that. There's a tornado watch here in New Jersey. There are like 50-some tornadoes in the Midwest right now. And so, in fact, you know, a couple million, over half the population of Ohio is out of power right now. I heard that on the radio a few minutes before I came in today, which is hard to imagine. But it's all because of tornadoes. So hopefully that won't happen to us, but it's nice to get those warnings so that we're aware. So that's about the only thing I'm going to talk about with weather, because I'd rather talk with Carl. I will play some messages from some of our sponsors. But Carl's an attorney here in New Jersey, and he has a passion, which everybody who's has a business needs to have, and that is a passion for what they do. He's a divorce attorney, and he wears a few hats besides that focus in your practice. So just to get people up to speed with who you are and where you came from, can you just share us about how long you've been in business and perhaps where you went to school, and why are you doing this?
That's a great question. I've been out here in Hunterdon County about 10 years. My wife and my two daughters and our collie, we live here in Flemington in the borough. And I went to Rutgers Law School, and I've had sort of a varied career, but it's always had family and divorce law be a big part of it. I also used to be the deputy county counsel for Somerset County for a few years, so I took a little bit of a segue where I still did the private work, but I also assisted governments. I still do some of that work as well, but really my partner Lisa Stein Browning and I are really starting to focus 100% on divorce and family law, and we're trying to do it in a way where we can kind of help people through the process, without it making things worse. You know, get them through the divorce, but not have it be something where it impacts their life negatively moving forward or negatively impacts their children moving forward. So the book that I wrote, Happily Even After, is about that idea of getting to the happily even after.
Yeah,
which
I
is
love
not always
the
easy.
I love the title. Here it is right here, folks. He brought me a copy. In fact, you have indicated, I have to say, first of all, there's an article that appeared in the local 100 Democrat last week about Carl, and I tore it out and made a copy of this a little bigger so I could read it. And it's tiny print in the newspapers. But you are making your book available to people who contact your office.
Yeah, anyone who's a resident of Hunterdon County or Somerset County, if they reach out to us, email me book@carltaylorlaw.com and say you want a copy of the book and your address, we'll mail it to you. Or if you want an electronic copy, just say, give me an electronic copy, we'll email it to you. Or you can call our office, 908-237-3096, and we'll get you a copy of the book for free.
I think that's wonderful that you've done this. You just published this not too long ago.
Yeah, it came out about a month ago.
Did it really? So yeah. You're really getting some mileage out of it already, but it's also on Amazon, apparently.
For sale on Amazon, but if you're a local resident, we're trying to, as a form of giving back, make some of this information available, kind of take away some of the secrecy of the divorce and family law process, and also talk about, you know, our firm's philosophy, which is a little bit unique in that we really want to make sure that people understand all their options, are informed, and sort of understand the emotional impact as well, so that they can sort of go through, you know, we kind of call it the Dante's Inferno of a divorce and come out the other side and both sides be okay. And
yeah.
You know, so.
That sounds good. I mean, I know you have a lot of competition. I don't know what I say a lot. I know several people that are that focus on divorce in New Jersey, several women that I've met through some networking groups.
Yeah,
but everybody is
it's
different.
It's a saturated market in general New Jersey and lawyers, you know?
Well, that's true. but every every business should be unique from the competition so that they stand out. And one thing you're doing is writing the book and making that available. That, to me, makes you stand out. Also, you're taking a different approach, I think, in the way you're explaining how you work with a client. So that also would differentiate you, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Being a lawyer, we can't even say there's differentiation points ethically. Yeah. So it's always very hard. But one thing we do like to emphasize in our practice is information. Our website, mynjdivorcelawyer.com, has a ton of information. I've written numerous articles nationally, locally, and on the website. So you can kind of – not that we want people to necessarily not use lawyers, because I think we are very important to the process.
Right.
But so that when they do go through the process, they understand why I'm doing certain things or why my partner Lisa might be taking a certain strategy or tactical position on a case. And then ultimately, look, it's not my life and it's not my goals that should be the driving force for a divorce. It should be the goals and the drive of the person who you're representing. And that's different for every single person.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that certainly would be. So you're really taking a very you're holding their hand and you're understanding what their goals are so that you can direct them in decision. You know, I teach selling classes. And at Raritan Valley Community College for the Small Business Development Center. And we talk about the fact that people like choices. I suspect that that's something you probably do. You can assess the situation and you could say to somebody, based on what you've told me, you have this is a direction you can take, or perhaps you can do, you know, what would be good for you.
Yeah, we try to give people the optionality where people like to feel like they're in the driver's seat, so we sort of use the metaphor of teaching somebody to drive. Mm-hmm. We're right here for you. If you start to go, if you start to go through a red light, we'll tell you to stop or something. But ultimately, you're behind the wheel. We're the one helping you. We're like the compass helping you navigate through the process. But it's really, you know, your story. And then the other thing we say, and it's kind of corny, but it's, you know, if you want a shark, you got to go somewhere else. Like, we're really more like the dolphin. We're here to help you through the process.
Yeah.
But we're not here to make things worse just for the sake of you know, devouring your spouse or something, or your ex, or punishing people. That's not how the system's really set up, and it might feel good in the short term, but you know, I've worked with a lot of marriage counselors and talked with a lot of marriage counselors, and some of those people actually have contributed chapters to this book, because I'm not an expert on the emotional piece of it, you know. And it's really important how you handle the divorce is really how your the future of your kids is at stake. Your future is at stake, because being bitter and going through this process and wasting all your money and your life savings, it might feel good in a sense in the short term, but long term, it's not a recipe for a successful life. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a friend who does a lot of posting on Facebook, and she never told me, but she told the world that she got a divorce recently, and every post on Facebook is pointing out how much happier she is, and she's like championing herself on Facebook. And I thought, man, she must have had a horrible marriage and a horrible divorce, and it's like she's hanging out her wash for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. And that, I think it's unfortunate. She must not have had somebody guiding her through it to make it, I don't know, more palatable, I guess you could say.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things, and I've only been married, I'm coming up on 11 years, so I'm a novice, right? But one of the things, you know, people grow apart naturally, and sometimes there doesn't have to be a villain to every story. Sometimes there is, right?
Yeah.
But I think people, we like to have stories, and we like to think of things in a narrative sense, and we're always the hero of our own story, as the cliche goes.
Yeah.
So it's very easy if you wake up one day and you're not happy to blame your spouse or to blame anybody, but sometimes yourself, right? And you know, that's why, and these people aren't communicating very well to begin with. That's really why the marriage usually starts to deteriorate,
right,
is lack of
true.
Communication.
Yeah.
So one of the things, you know, I like to encourage people to do is, hey, go talk to a therapist during the divorce. It's going to be about as bad as going through a death. Statistics and studies show that. And also, you know, maybe even go to therapy, even though you know the marriage is over, to learn how to communicate with each other if you have small children, because that's how you're going to have to communicate until those kids are raised. And another cliche I use over and over again is you don't want to go to your kid's high school graduation or college graduation or wedding someday and ruin it because you and your spouse hate each other or your ex hate each other so much that you make it about yourselves and your failed relationship instead of about the kids and their happy day, you know? So you got to keep all that in mind. You really do.
And I think it's good that you point those things out to your clients. I'm going to take a break for some messages from our sponsors, and then I'm going to come back.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I own Califon Connection LLC, which actually has three DBAs, or doing business as, and I have three businesses. One's called Animal Brands. We're manufacturers, reps in the pet supply industry, and also I do consulting and speaking in the pet industry. And Rustmore Mentoring Group, where I do teaching, consulting, and speaking on business topics. And then we have a third business called Rustmore Marine. We sell floating docks to people who have waterfront property. And just as a sidebar, marketing, and Carl and I are going to get into this. Carl Taylor is my guest for today. We're going to talk a little bit about marketing. But whatever marketing, whatever your business is, you can use the marketing strategies for any business. You just manipulate and modify them to meet the needs of, you know, in reaching your goals for your specific business. But Carl and I were just talking about the collaborative approach in law, and you were more technical in it than what my understanding of it would be. But when somebody's going through the divorce process, there's a chance that they may need to speak to doctors or CPAs and other family counselors and people like that. So you have a partner, so you and she can do collaborative work with other professionals if need be.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the informal idea of being collaborative, right? But in New Jersey, in divorce and family law, there's actually what's called collaborative law, where you actually have to take a specific training. My partner, Elisa Stein-Browning, is trained in it. Both of us are also trained in mediation, so we can also offer neutral mediation services, which Lisa does more of than I do. But essentially, it's a process where you take yourself outside of the court system and you try mm-hmm. to work out a deal. And you kind of agree that if you can't work out a deal, you're not going to use the same attorneys at the end. So you kind of burn through those attorneys, and you're essentially only going to come back to court to finalize the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a decent approach in that a lot of people go the court route right from the very start. And then now you have somebody else involved, right? You have the court. They're dictating schedules to you. They're dictating when you're going to have to come to court. They're overseeing the whole process, which is good and bad. But only about 1% of all cases actually go to trial. So the court's really good at getting you to settle, but it's sort of on the court's terms, whereas some people prefer to have a little more autonomy and go through mediation or not file for divorce and work out the deal prior to getting to court. But it depends on a lot of factors. Mm-hmm. Is there a history of domestic violence? How well do the people get along? You know, yeah. all these sort of factors that when a client walks in, a new client, you know, through our door, you know, we talk about all the options to figure out which is the best one that'll be most advantageous for them.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you have to listen closely to make sure that you've heard all the, because it's like a puzzle, I'm sure.
We usually do, you know, about a 2-hour divorce consultation.
You do, okay.
So I'd rather know too much than not enough, because you never know what fact is going to be important. And same thing with trying a case. You never know what one little fact is the fact. Sometimes you'll prepare for a trial, you'll know, like, this is the one fact that's going to stick to, like, the judge's ear, like, because it might just be a tiny fact, you know, so you have to listen, because if not, you're going to miss it.
You know, I'm just thinking, as you're sharing some of this, I've often heard in the past, anyway, that money became a very critical issue in a marriage. Have you seen this in the divorce situations that you've encountered?
Yeah, I mean, I came out of law school in 2009, so that was the height of the recession, right? And when I first went to law school, it was like, oh, you know, the economy's going along pretty well. And then it came out in 2009, it was like everyone's struggling. So I took a clerkship with a judge in Somerset County Family Division, Judge Pacheco, who's like my mentor. And, you know, you saw a lot of people who were, at one point they were dividing their houses. Now they're dividing their debt as part of the divorce. Like, no, you get that debt. No, you take that debt. So luckily it's kind of rebounded now over the last few years. You know, the economy's gotten a little bit stronger, unemployment's lower, all that. But you still see, you know, some people are financially driven, some people are children driven. Usually it's a mix, of course, but, you know, there's definitely you have to figure out for every person and for their spouse, which is harder, what makes them tick and what's most important to them in the case. Mm-hmm. And it might not always be what you think it is, you know?
All right. Now, one of the questions I ask my clients when I'm doing private consulting, I say, who's your target audience? Well, obviously you want to serve people that are planning or thinking they need to get divorced, but we don't know who's in that situation.
Right.
So the target audience really becomes the people that know people in order to get you to that to the end user, so to speak. So how do you attract and how do you find and attract and reach out to the targets that you're helping?
Sure. So I think one thing, you know, and we're talking about differentiation again, right? We're not even targeting everyone getting divorced, right? We're targeting people in Hunterdon County,
okay.
Somerset County, and
okay.
sometimes, you know, surrounding areas, but not so much, who want to have a reasonable divorce. So, and who don't, you know, if you want us, like I said before, if you want us to come be the agent of we're going to bludgeon your ex, you know, through the court system, we can do it. And if you pay us enough money, we probably will do it. But that's not really the client we want to be working with.
Right.
We want somebody who's going to come in and be, you know, reasonable, understand there's emotion and address the emotion. So the question is, how do you find those people, right?
Right.
And I think it's stuff like this book and it's stuff like the website where people, you know, if they go on our website and we say, look, we're not here to punish your ex. We're not here to, you know, we're going to be tough. We're going to make sure that you have all your rights and you know,
right.
everything. But we're not going to roll over. But at the same time, we're not going to take positions that are going to help us lose our credibility with the court long term or anything. Some people might be immediately, okay, these aren't the attorneys for me, right? I'm going to move forward. There's other firms that maybe I can mesh with better.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things I like about informational marketing is the fact that you can kind of get that information out there as to who we are and who we're looking to work with and who we might make sense to partner with in cases. And then people sort of self-select into the system a little bit more, you know?
That's interesting. So, I think your philosophy, you know, people, Simon Sinek wrote a book, and you may have read it, but what is your why? And you've shared with us that you're there to help people who are within the area, and you want to help them in a gentle way rather than being, like you said, trying to bury your the spouse or whatever the term it was that you used.
Yeah, because you know we live out here too. So
yeah.
You know, my thing is, you know, it's almost like an expectation in the media and the way it's portrayed in movies, where divorce is either kind of like a joke or it's like it's a revenge plot, right? but in all reality, we're all just decent, mostly decent people working and living out in Hunterdon County, and it's just one of these transactions we have to do, you know. And we think about it so emotionally. Whereas if you get your will done, like nobody likes to think about dying, but like when I got my will done, I'm like, okay. I wasn't like angry, you know, but because of the narrative aspect of a divorce, I think people like to, so when I give out this book, it's sort of like a way to like hopefully create some civility locally that'll benefit, you know, the citizenry out here and their children and everybody else.
Okay.
So
this is his book, Happily Even After. I love the title, The Guide to Divorce in New Jersey. And you have several contributing, writers in this book that include, some of the counselors that you've met along the way?
Yeah, Glenn Murphy does the foreword. He's a counselor out in Bedminster. And then Deborah Perizzoli does a really good chapter in here. She's local in Flemington. And she does a chapter on how to talk to your children about the fact that you're going through a divorce, which is kind of interesting. And obviously something I wanted to include, but not something I could really write about with any
right.
kind of, you know, expertise.
You know, that in itself is wonderful. When I'm counseling people, I always say that you need to have an unofficial board of advisors who can with whom you can bounce ideas off of, and those people can become evangelists for you because they've gotten to know you. Well, that's what you've done here. You trust those individuals. You ask them to write articles, you know, chapters in your book. At the same time, they now know you better, and they can be in a marketing lingo. They're evangelists for your business. So if they meet somebody who's thinking about getting divorced, they'd be more likely to refer you than somebody else.
Yeah, and also being local, it's when you get to know different marriage therapists or people who work, you know, sort of. Or accountants who work in tandem with what what you're doing with the kind of work we're doing. It's good to know maybe this person's not a good fit for this, you know, maybe this client's not a good fit for this counselor, but would be a good fit for that counselor.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it comes back to that sort of where do the personalities mesh? Where do the goals mesh?
Yeah.
And the longer you're out here, you know, doing any kind of business, because it's so small out here, the more you can kind of figure the right people to work
exactly.
with your clients.
You know, years ago, I belonged to a BNI networking group, and you may have been to BNI meetings, Business Network International, and they believe in the concept of power teams. And in a way, it's a power team. You have these people that you can make referrals to. It's almost like a one-stop shop. In other words, somebody comes to you, but you may recommend, well, your client may say, I need help in this area, I need help in there, and you've already gotten to know those people.
Yeah.
So it's in BNI lingo, it's a power team. I call it, in a guerrilla marketing standpoint, you might call it a fusion marketing, where you're not in competition with these other people. They're just working as a team to help your client move along with their lives. So that gets me a little bit into guerrilla marketing. And you had said when we agreed to meet that you like the idea of guerrilla marketing. And for those people who are listening to the program and not clear on what guerrilla marketing is, it's a concept that was developed in the middle 1980s by J. Conrad Levinson, who passed away about 2 to 3 years ago now.
He wrote a book called Guerrilla Marketing, right?
Many.
Guerrilla Marketing for Small Businesses.
Oh, you got
right?
You know, guerrilla retailing, guerrilla networking, guerrilla social media. He has all these books that he's either co-authored or wrote. But there's always that common thread among all of the books that are the base of his philosophy, which is achieving a low-cost, no-cost marketing budget, and also using your time, energy, and imagination before spending money. And so that's one thing that I feel very strongly about, is that if you're going to you've got to do outreach. There's no question about it. So can you do it in a low-cost, no-cost way by really exhausting all of the potential opportunities? And you've done a lot of that. For example, you know, I know you've run some ads in the Huntington Democrat, but you also did a press release. And look at this. This was a sizable press release in the local paper. It kind of blew me away when I saw it. And it's a great article. And you wrote this, apparently.
Yeah.
It's very, very well written. And it talks about your philosophy and the fact that your book is available. But I had a client one time who took this type of information and actually submitted it to other publications as an advertisement, because they leveraged it and used it elsewhere.
Right.
So you can do the same thing.
It's all about recycling, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially if you do a lot of informational. Like, my book started as a lot of articles and blog posts, you know, that I then cleaned up into a book at some point.
See, that I love it. that's my kind of my thing. I really like what you've done. So you've also talked about, there's a concept called cause-related marketing, and we talked a little bit about this before we came on on the air today. But you have collaborated with several nonprofits and also organizations that will help you to be better known. So let's talk about some of the things you've done in the community.
Yeah, it's important for us to be a part of the community and to try and you know, I think I might have mentioned earlier, like I came from a blue-collar background. So one of the things we do is we're giving out a $500 scholarship to a graduating senior from each of the local public high schools, which I also like because my wife works in education. And my one daughter attends public education here, and the other one will soon enough when she gets old enough. But it's for a future lawyer scholarship. And it was, you know, we try to make it partially need-based as well as the rigor of the candidate. But the problem is then you get like everyone's like a 4.0 GPA and they're going to go to Princeton. So, you know, but somebody who's interested in going to law school and look, $500 probably doesn't even buy books anymore for a semester, but it's something where, you know, we give it out to the 6 or 7 local high schools.
Oh, yeah.
We're not giving a ton of money out, but we are, of course, we're marketing. We're getting our name out there. It's not entirely altruistic, I hate to admit. But it's also doing that in a way where you can kind of feel good about the firm, feel like our firm has some larger purpose
absolutely.
Just, you know, lining money into a lawyer's pockets, you know.
Right. Well, that's I think it's wonderful. Years ago when my kids graduated from Califon School, K-8, and my husband and I actually gave a scholarship. I don't know how much money it was. It might have been $100 to a graduating eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And it was had something to do with communication skills, because
right.
I've been very concerned about the way the trends nowadays with communication are not good. But one of the students who won that scholarship money from us communicated with us later on to let us know how she was doing in school.
Well, I'll do the same thing. The first time I gave this award out was about 5-6 years ago, Bridgewater, where my wife works, and the gentleman who won the award reached out to me like a couple years ago, and we always stay in touch. And I think he's about to graduate from Georgetown Law School, so he actually went on to law school. So it's neat, you know. He's probably going to work
so
in D.C.
Cool.
So
yeah.
it is cool. I mean, I think I remember I got one of those kinds of. I think it was for perfect attendance or something. It wasn't anything brilliant, like when I was graduating. But a couple $100 at the time, you know, you made your parents proud because they, you're getting the award, and then that money was for me. It was helpful. It did pay for books or whatever or at least a couple books, you know. We do that, and we're trying to give to Safe Harbor because I used to rent. Our office's first space before we moved into our bigger space was on 171 Main Street, Watts Tyson Skowronek Law Building, and Carol DeVore and Safe Harbor were upstairs, and they're a good organization as well. So we're trying to partner with them to give money back so they can help run their nonprofit. So, and they help with supervised parenting time for people who are going through a divorce. So.
Well, that's I think that's wonderful. So it's so those of you who have a business or are thinking about owning one, cause-related marketing is all about collaborating and partnering with a nonprofit organization, where you give them something of value. Sometimes it's just volunteering your time. It doesn't have to necessarily even be monetary.
Right.
But you let people know, let the world know, whether through press releases or information on your website, that you're doing this. But at the same time, that organization promotes the fact that you have supported them. So it's a really a partnership with those nonprofits. I've often said, coming from the pet industry, I've seen packaging on a pet product where it says, let's say 10% of the proceeds of the sale will go to a shelter. And I often think to myself, the shelter probably doesn't have a clue that this is even being stated on the package. I think it has to be a deeper relationship for it to really pay off, I think, for everyone. And it's great that you've done that. So kudos to that young man who's that felt the impact of just that gift that he received from you. I think it's wonderful. So we're about time to take a break here with some of our sponsors, and then I'll be back, and I want to talk a little bit more about the guerrilla marketing and some other concepts that you may be working from. So we'll move ahead to some words from
you. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republican Congressman Thomas Massey of Kentucky blocked the passage of a disaster aid bill on Tuesday, increasing the odds that lawmakers will have to wait until the full Congress is in session next week before the measure can be sent to President Trump. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine says the damage is devastating after tornadoes tore through the Buckeye State on Tuesday.
I want to come here today just to express to people our sympathy. We can't pretend to understand what they've been through, but we want to let them know that we care very, very much.
The EF3 tornado struck near Dayton last night, and at least one person is dead and several others were injured. President Trump is back in Washington, D.C. after his four-day visit to Japan, and celebrity attorney Michael Avenatti is pleading not guilty to stealing $300,000 from former client Stormy Daniels. He's free after posting $300,000 bond. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like a picture of Kyle pretending to put his fingers on top of another national monument, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Kyle, it's that you hate that he's there and you are sitting in a bathroom stall at work. Don't hate like Kyle's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. It's May 28th. I can't believe how fast the month has gone. I'm so happy here to have Carl Taylor, who is the author of Happily Even After, this book on divorce in New Jersey. From a gentle standpoint, I think, from the way
relatively
try to take the pain out of.
Yeah, there is a chapter called "How to Utilize Civil Litigation Techniques in High Stress Divorce or High Conflict Divorces."
Yeah.
I definitely am probably more of a litigator, but I try to be sensible about it.
Well, that gives people a peace of mind knowing that where you're coming from. You know, it's like I say, one of the things you say, why do you do what you do? So that's the approach that you're taking. Just talking a little bit more about guerrilla marketing, it's important that you circle your target audience. So by finding, by having you on this program, you are on a few other programs here on the Chamber. You're getting some exposure, certainly in the area. And this newspaper article is another one, helping out the doing the scholarships for the students and helping those other organizations in New Jersey. So always try to think in terms of encircling the target that you want to reach out to. I believe that there may be some marketing tactics that you use may seemingly don't work for you. They may not work, but in fact, they may be supporting other things that you are doing. And I think, it's important that you do that. I've had people say to me, "Can you?" They want me to run an ad in say a publication of some sort, and I'll say, "Well, I'll think about it, but I have to also consider all the other tactics that I'm going to implement at the same time, so that at every turn." Whoever my audience might be, will see it at every turn. But if you're only doing one activity and they're in essence looking the other way, what does that get you?
Well, you know, I think talking about marketing, one of the things that I really liked about the idea of publishing the book was you can sort of market the book, which is easier than I'm a somewhat humble guy, I think. So maybe I'm not coming across that way today, but in general, it's hard for people to sell themselves, right? Sometimes it's hard to talk about yourself or how great our firm is or any of that kind of stuff. But if you say, here's our book and it has a lot of information and it's helpful, and it's also a little bit less, I think, aggressive in terms of, you know, you can, I'll just say, here's the book, and if you ever want to reach out to us, reach out to us. And mm-hmm. then, of course, we're trading it for people's contact info so we can then say, here's an article we did on, you know, prenuptial agreements or whatever it might be, you know, so that we stay top of mind. But in building that contact list, which mm-hmm. I've been pretty derelict in doing throughout my career, I'm trying to, like, remedy that because I think that's important. But, yeah, I mean, I think you know, our newspaper ad now is get a copy of our book. It's not a picture of me and the other, you know, staff members, you know, saying we do divorce law. So to that extent, it's an easier sell, I think.
Well, I think you've mentioned two things here. First of all, when it comes to marketing, the message is not about you. It's about the client.
Right.
And what's important to them. And what I find in reading websites and also brochures and any kind of marketing outreach, I'll hear them, I see or hear companies say, we do this and we do that, which is all about the company, whereas the two most important words are you and your. So it's a matter of focusing on the client because they are, as you know, there's that acronym, WIFM, WIFM, what's in it for me. As they're listening to you or as they're reading your website or as they're reading the book, they're thinking to themselves, what's in it for me to do business with this firm?
Right.
So they have to know that you know where they're coming from and that you have suggestions that will help them out. But it's amazing how many companies say, we do this and we do that, but they've never acknowledged a thumb reading website. They haven't acknowledged what my concern is.
Yeah, and we try to do that a little bit. Yeah, you know, like on our website, we have an about us section, mm-hmm. but we also have an about you section, which I don't think you see too often in service-based industries. And it's, you know, you're probably scared, you're probably feeling nervous, you're probably hearing all kinds of conflicting information. Here's what we're going to do for you, here's what you can expect from the process, and here's what we might hope to obtain from the process.
Yeah, so that sounds really good. Now, the other thing you mentioned was about keeping track of contact information, contact names. And I do recommend that people have a CRIM system, and it's essentially a database that holds all your contact names, address, phone numbers.
Is that a CRM you're talking about?
Yeah, CRM, customer relationship management programs. I do recommend that people take a look at HubSpot's program, which is supposed to be free. And HubSpot is a company that has been in business for a number of years, but they help their clients get found online, and they must have realized down the road that people just don't have and I know it's true, people do not have systems for keeping track of contacts that they need to communicate with. So in your case, on that CRIM system, you would have current clients, former clients, you would have any of the collaborative people, it could be the CPAs or the family counselors or people like that, all those names would, and also people that run organizations, they would go in that database, and you have a system of whereby you can just check what, well, this company is a client, this is a former client, but this way you can keep track with them. And one thing that people forget is that once you're finished working with somebody, and I'm not sure how you feel about this, but in most cases, you still keep in touch with them. Say, maybe send them a holiday card, or I used to have a CPA that sent me a Thanksgiving card, or there may be newsletters that go out. Because business, and this goes back to guerrilla marketing, it's repeat and referral business.
Right.
You may not do repeat business with a divorce, but you might have referrals. So you want people to know about you to create that top of the mind even after you've completed the task.
Yeah.
So that if they have friends that need help, they're going to recommend you. Otherwise, they're going to go someplace else. I mean, you're out of sight, out of mind otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great point because I think in the beginning when I first started doing this, I thought to myself, well, who the heck wants to hear from your divorce? It's like that's about the lowest thing you want to hear from, right, is your divorce lawyer after the divorce is finalized. But, you know, I thought about it as we've gotten more and more positive reviews on Google and other places, and people have reached out to us when my kids were born. Some of my clients or ex-clients, you know, bring baby clothes or
wow,
send edible arrangements. I get nervous about eating them because I was convinced they might be poisoned. But, you know, like you know, it is a strong bond. If you do right by people, there is a strong bond. Even amongst, and, you know, DJ Wright's a local guy who runs a funeral home, right? And he has a strong bond with people. And who wants to think about a funeral home, right?
Right.
You don't want to think about it at all. But but he's active in the community, and he you know, so that's somebody I worked with on a nonprofit that I kind of looked up to. Is you can make almost anything if you do it the right way. They understand. I'm here to help them. It's not necessarily my fault they're getting divorced, and if you do right by people, they'll remember it. But if you do a good job, if you don't reach out to them, they're not going to remember who you are a few years from now. Like, I read this in a book, but it's true. Think about the doctor who did a surgery on you 10 years ago. He or she might have done the best surgery in the world, but if she hasn't stayed in contact with you, you can't remember her name, you know?
That's very true. And if you were to send them information, say by email, you just could say, I'd love to keep in touch with you periodically and just send you some updates on things that are happening in the community.
Yeah. We'll do a newsletter. I think
that's fine.
You think it's a good idea, a newsletter?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, one of the things I recommend when you're meeting with a client, in the beginning you're going to explain how you work and what the system is and what you're going to, how they're going to be treated and what the steps might be. But as you conclude with the client, you might say, I'd like to really keep in touch with you because occasionally we have information about what's going on in the community. Would it be okay if I send you a newsletter periodically?
And we even put that in our retainer agreement now so that way it's clear. Like, you're agreeing that you're going to be added to our mailing list, you know, like right off the bat. So
that's perfect. And that's what, you know, having permission marketing is important, as you know, because you can sue somebody if they're sending you spam. Although I wonder how many people actually do get I get a lot of spam stuff.
Yeah. And that's Seth Godin, right?
Seth Godin, exactly, yeah. Right. In fact, Seth
Godin.
Did
he run HubSpot or whatever? Or he used to be Squidoo, or am I conflating those two?
He's not involved with HubSpot.
Okay. He used to have a website. I think that was similar.
But might have been something else. Yeah. He one of the books that I talk about with my students and my clients is The Purple Cow.
The Purple Cow,
have you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more focused on the dip these days, but sure.
Yeah. But, as long as you've established that relationship and they've agreed to get information, it's really, you're forming a relationship and they've agreed to accept your information, which is perfect. And by the same token, because you're so active in the community, just even putting notes about what's going on in the community, or maybe focus on nonprofits or organizations that have benefited from others, people helping them out somehow.
Right.
But there could be a theme in there. But it's okay. And you want the referral business, and they're going to be out there.
Yeah, the best clients in the service business always come from referrals. And
yeah.
We found it's no different for our business.
Yeah.
If you get somebody who finds you on the internet, you can make them into a good, you know, client, or they might be good, but it's a little bit more of like the lottery, you know?
Right. But if they, so you get the referrals and keep that going. People just think just because they did, well, even my contractors. I had a guy, one of my contractors said, gee, well, this past winter has been really slow, and I had called him in March or April to do a job for me at our house. And I thought to myself, well, if you'd called me in December or January, I would have given you the work then.
Yeah.
Don't tell me business is slow when you're not keeping up with touch with people.
Right.
But that's more often the case. People don't realize it. So, in fact, a guerrilla marketing concept is it's the 60-30-10 rule. 60% of your marketing should be to the people you're serving and or have served in the past. 30% of your marketing should be to the people who would be you would target. Now, in your case, it might be the organizations that would fall into that 30%, or perhaps people have inquired about your services, but they not use them, but they might potentially use your services eventually.
Right.
That would fall in the 30%, and the 10% of your marketing is the part you throw against the wall, see what sticks.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people spend a lot of money throwing stuff against the wall. You need to know where you want to be,
right?
And then focus that time, energy, and imagination where you think it's going to be most beneficial.
Yeah,
for your business.
You know what you do sounds very helpful, because it's hard as a business owner to know where to spend your next minute or your next dollar. You know, I mean, that's just day to day. There's so many decisions that focus on that. You know, I mean, even tiny decisions. So
right, that's very, very true. So we've talked about one other thing that you and I touched on during our messages here with our sponsors is networking. Now you're already networking with a lot of organizations, but there are a lot of people that gain a benefit from joining activities at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. I used to go to events at Somerset Business Partnership, which is what this, the chamber is called in Somerset County. I don't like that name especially. Mm-hmm. They should just call it Somerset
right.
Chamber of Commerce and be done with it. But anyway, both of those organizations, as well as other ones around the state, have wonderful programs. I joined, actually did a lot. I did several programs for Hunter and Chamber, and I felt guilty. I better join. So I've been a member now for probably 4 or 5 years. But they have small networking groups throughout the county. So they have the North Group, the Central, and the South. So I can go to the small groups at no charge. And then occasionally they'll have a business card exchanges and other events that go on throughout the year. So you get to see people, you get to see all of them. But then you can also focus on in those three small groups where you have more of an opportunity to have, one-on-one conversations with people. But the whole thing about networking is to develop an unpaid team of salespeople, basically. But I do believe that when you go to a networking event, you don't go specifically to get a client. You go to learn something. You go to help other people by maybe making some suggestions if somebody has a question, which I do that a lot. And then you go and you explain who you're looking for in terms of clients, and then maybe you'll get somebody in the room. Many people will go to a networking event, and if they can't get business out of it, they just don't go back. And it takes 6 months or more just for it to kick in, for it to work.
Yeah, you're right. And I used to be the trustee for the Somerset County Bar Association. When I first started going to those events, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
It was tough, but at least I had something in common with them. They're all lawyers, right?
Right.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
We all have that in common. But, now, when you go to events and you see people, it gets easier. And then, like, for instance, I had lunch this week with one of my friends I made. She and I met about 10 years ago at the Bar Association for both Young Lawyers Division.
Yeah.
And now we're just having lunch, not necessarily to refer anything to anybody just because we're friends, you know?
Exactly.
And sometimes we do refer to each other.
Yeah.
It's just... happens, you know.
So she's part of your board of your informal board of advisors. You could call her up and say, I've got this situation or that situation. What do you suggest?
Yeah.
And that's what you need. And it's people like that who really get to know you very well. And so there's logic behind all of this. We're close to the end here, and I would just like you to. I feel like I'm rushing at this point, but let's give your name of your company, your phone number, website, how people can get your book.
Sure. So the book is Happily Even After, as I've probably said too many times today, but the firm is Carl Taylor Law, and I'm Carl Taylor. Lisa Stein Browning is the other partner at our firm, and we're located in Brereton Township, and our number is 908-237-3096. But I think the best point of entry would probably be myndivorcelawyer.com. Again, myndivorcelawyer.com. It's our website, and it's really, along with the book, it tells you just about everything you need to know about divorce and family law in New Jersey if you take the time to scour through it. So,
okay. And by the way, just curious, with regard to divorce law in New Jersey, does it every state, I guess, is a little bit different in the way they the legal aspect of it?
Yeah, I think one of the neat things about New Jersey is the state has the same court rules throughout the whole state, whereas Pennsylvania, every county might have local rules that are a little bit different. So I was able to write this book for the whole state. You know, it would work for the whole state. It's really aimed at my target audience of Hunter and Somerset County,
yeah.
But we have uniform rules throughout the state. So we're not a commonwealth, so that's nice, you know.
Huh, that's interesting. Well, do the laws change much over the course of time?
Yeah, I mean, like things like palimony law used to not have to be in writing. Now it has to be in writing under what's called the statute of frauds.
Okay.
So, there's alimony changed a few years ago, so permanent alimony is no longer a thing, although it kind of still is. So there's always changes, and part of, being in any field is you got to keep up with those changes. And I guess my plan would be to kind of update this book every, 3 to 4 years and update it for the changes in the law.
That's good. Yeah. So yeah, as a professional, that's, we're all lifelong learners, and you especially when you're in your field.
Yeah, or your son being the pharmacist, right?
Yeah, my son's a pharmacist. He's got to keep up with that too.
Don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I want to thank you for coming to the program today, Carl. And this program will be archived on the Hunterdon Chamber website. You can listen to the program on today for today's date. This is May 28th. And I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I'm always looking for topics for this program and also people who would like to be interviewed. So if you have anyone that you can recommend, please let me know. My phone number, you can call me, is 908-832-9544. That's 908-832-9544. Or you could send me an email, which is vmorgan at russmore, russmore.com, and I'll get back in touch with you. I want to thank you for listening to the program, and please join us every Tuesday afternoon from 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I guarantee that you will have takeaways. Make sure you have a pencil and paper handy. There will be takeaways from every one of our programs, and thanks to our wonderful guests, including Carl Taylor, who's our attorney in here in Flemington, New Jersey. So have a great afternoon, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks again for having me, Vicki.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Forecasters say flooding will get more intense in Oklahoma and Arkansas. Arkansas Department of Emergency Management spokesman Melanie Daniels says the number one priority is keeping everyone safe.
The river has not crested yet. This event will happen. It will be historic, and it will be unlike anything that most of our residents in Arkansas have seen.
Republican Congressman from Kentucky Thomas Massey objected to a disaster aid bill in the House, forcing the bill to be delayed until the full House is in session for a vote. The Kentucky Republican is blaming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for the delay.
Let's be clear. This is a crisis of Nancy Pelosi's own making. She wanted to send everybody home for a four-day weekend. She sent us on recess for 10 days without voting on this legislation, without calling it for a vote. She sent us home on Thursday instead of Friday.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
There's a bipartisan effort underway to give American veterans a financial break. As we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The Attorneys General of Utah and New Jersey leading a bipartisan push to get the Department of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos to forgive student loans of totally and permanently disabled veterans. In a letter to DeVos on Friday, the Utah Attorney General Susan Reyes and New Jersey Attorney General Gerbier Graywall called on the DOE to automatically discharge those loans for eligible vets. The letter also proposes the DOE remove negative student loan data from disabled veterans' credit reports.
Members of a private group called We Build a Wall say they're constructing a barrier along the U.S.-Mexico border. The group, founded by a triple amputee Air Force veteran, has raised about $20 million on a crowdfunding website after asking for donations after a federal judge blocked President Trump from using Defense Department funds for his proposed border wall. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is in Houston for his first town hall. The former vice president